Praise the Lord. There's never a time he's not been faithful. Wow. Well, it is good to be with you today, Bethany Baptist Church. So thankful for the opportunity to be here. And not just because you're a long way south of Nebraska in February. I promise. It is great to be here for a lot better reasons than that, although I don't mind your warmth whatsoever. And so we've got two more months or so before we thaw out up there. And so looking, just excited to be here, though, for better reasons to be in the house of the Lord, be with you, and sure appreciate you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for your prayers. So many of you tell us you're praying for us, and we know you are. And what we're trying to do in Grand Island, Nebraska, isn't possible without prayer. It's impossible without prayer. It's impossible to please God without faith, without prayer. And so we're so thankful. We need you to be praying and need you behind us, and so thankful for that. If you'll join me standing, if you're able, and turn to Matthew chapter 9 this morning. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be in the end of Matthew chapter 9, and I'm very aware that anytime a preacher preaches on missions, that the end of Matthew chapter 9 comes up very often. And so I go to it cautiously, but I go there because I know that's where the Lord wants me at this morning. I recently got a new Bible, but in my other Bible I had made all kinds of notes in here. And there was missionary name after missionary name. And your Bible might look like that this morning. And so maybe it's just a reminder this morning, but I'm just convinced it's where God wants us at today. And it's such a privilege and an opportunity to be here with you on your missions month, and it's on launch Sunday or the first Sunday to kick it off. And I just so desire for God to do what he wants done here today. So let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Look down with me to verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Mainly going to look at verse 35 today and 36. Going to read 37 and 38 to give us the context, to remind us what he's dealing with. He's dealing with the harvest. He's dealing with missions. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We're going to consider verse 35 and 36 today, and it's often that we get into verse 37 and 38, but the very root of missions is in 35 and in 36, and just desire for God to help us today. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We need you. We can't do anything without you. Please help us today, God. It's been wonderful to be with your people already this morning, the singing, the truth, it's been powerful already. And I just pray now that your word would have free course in our hearts today, and then it would have free course in our lives as we take it out of here with us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Thinking about missions, we would be familiar with Matthew chapter 28. The end of Matthew, the go ye therefore and teach all nations. In my study and in thinking about this passage and knowing I was going to preach here, that the Lord would have us here today, it was exciting to me to see Jesus as being a missionary here in Matthew chapter 9. You see, we're familiar with the Great Commission, go ye therefore. But notice in verse 35, Jesus, what's the next word? Went. He's the example. He is the first. He came and he did it first and to all the cities and villages. And what did he do there? Teaching. in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You see, he was doing what he would then commission us to do and give us the responsibility to do. We're going to see kind of an overview here of a couple of chapters that Jesus was doing this very thing that now we are to do, that he left us here to do. And so to think about verse 36 as we get there and think through that quickly, that Jesus had compassion. It means that he was moved deeply with what he saw. He saw and he was moved with compassion because they fainted. You see, you don't faint when things are okay. Fainting is a response to things being desperately wrong. Fainting is a response to things being overwhelming, whether it's a physical response of fainting or maybe an emotional response to faint. But faint is a response, a type of shock that happens when a situation is too overwhelming to deal with, and it's like a mechanism that even our designer put into our bodies to deal with some situations. It overwhelms and it shuts the body down, and it goes through a process. People that Jesus was looking at, the ones he saw in verse 36, the ones that he's been healing in every city, in every town, they were overwhelmed with brokenness. That's where they were. They were overwhelmed with brokenness in their lives. It says that they were scattered abroad. There was no help for them. Scattered abroad, literally meaning thrown around. So they were faint. We know they were overwhelmed with brokenness, and then they were scattered abroad. Jesus saw these things in verse 36, and it moved him with compassion because they were overwhelmed with brokenness. It means they were hopelessly hopeless. And this overwhelming brokenness was throwing them from one thing of overwhelming brokenness into another thing of overwhelming brokenness into another thing of overwhelming brokenness. They were overwhelmingly broken and being thrown around by it. Jesus saw that. More than anyone could, Jesus knew that. When he saw them, he knew their stories. He knew their situations. He knew where they were at. That maybe they would land at one place for a little while. One level of brokenness. And maybe it would stabilize. Or maybe it wouldn't even hardly stabilize. And the rug would be yanked out from underneath of them again, and they would be in another level of brokenness. They were being thrown from brokenness to brokenness. And then they were as sheep having no shepherd. To add to the magnitude and this problem of their brokenness, not only were they overwhelmingly broken, and not only were they being thrown around by this brokenness, they didn't have anyone to help them. They had no guide. They had no protector. They had no provider. They were under the situation without hope. So it was hopelessly hopeless. There was not a place they could find some direction. There was not a place they could get some hope. The picture is that sheep are in distress. If they don't have a shepherd, it's doomsday. They'll self-destruct. The picture of sheep getting scared on one side of the pasture and being scattered abroad. They run across, and about the time they are exhausted and run out of breath and maybe stop, something spooks them again, or they, with fear, they run back across, and they literally can run themselves to death, run themselves ragged, or run themselves off of a cliff, or at the very least, become very easy prey to a predator. Jesus saw the people in this kind of a situation spiritually, that people like sheep without a shepherd, an overwhelmingly broken situation, continually being thrown around, are left to self-destruct. They're overwhelmingly broken, and there's nothing that's going to fix the situation on its own. As we read verse 35 and 36, these two verses, they describe the situation of what is in front of Jesus, the multitudes, But they also describe actually the situation that's been going on since the beginning of Matthew chapter 8. This has been happening. He has been going to all the cities and all the towns, and he has been healing, as verse 35 says, every sickness, every disease. And to think about the overwhelming brokenness that these people had, to do a little bit of an overview over chapter 8 and chapter 9, the people that he had healed and the people that he had reached out to and the people that some had come to him and some brought people to, went to Jesus and brought Jesus back to the people that were overwhelmingly broken. But the ones who were in this situation, they were overwhelmed with brokenness. The first one in chapter 8 is a leper. It was a death sentence. There was no hope of remedy. There was no hope. And it's been happening over and over. And what did Jesus do? He went to them. He taught them. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, verse 35 tells us. Because he saw them in their place and their situation. This is what a missionary does. It's not us, it's God in us and through us. But it's what a church planter does. We can't physically heal people ourselves, but we go to a broken people in a broken world that's overwhelmed with brokenness and are being thrown around by brokenness. And we tell them there's a good shepherd. We tell them that's what they need, and we show them that. And when Jesus saw the people in this broken situation, he was moved with compassion. I remember the first time driving into Grand Island, Nebraska. And brokenness everywhere. And I spent a weekend there with Brother Richard King, and I would preach that Sunday in June. And like all the other towns, you would see the shopping areas and the schools and the parks. And then you would see the evidence of brokenness. All of the bars. There is hundreds of small towns. There is about 60 counties in Nebraska without an independent Baptist church. And in those counties, all the counties, there's hundreds of towns. And there'll be many, many towns that don't have any kind of a church, but every town has a bar. And then in Grand Island, a town of 50,000 people, you see the drug addiction. You see all of this levels of brokenness, and you see the turmoil as you watch families and just the conversations. You see the drug and the alcohol rehab places. And I know these would be here too. It's not unique to Grand Island. But Grand Island didn't have a church like Bethany. And I remember going there and seeing a lot of religious things. A lot of large religious churches or organizations. And religion was all over Grand Island, but there wasn't much hope. There was a lot of overwhelming broken situations and lives, but not a lot of hope. And what God used to move my heart was while we were driving around looking, and I start looking for churches, and there's all the religious churches, but not ones that would promote a relationship. A relationship with the shepherd. And when the Lord showed me this town, the 50,000 people in the Midwest, I saw all the religion, but I didn't see hope. I went back home after that weekend thinking, someone needs to go there. Somebody needs to go. And for someone, there's an incredible opportunity there. And that someone, as you would guess, became very evident who that someone was. So we went to take Jesus to the overwhelmingly broken, hopeless people and situation because Jesus is the one who heals brokenness. He heals the leper in the first part of chapter 8. And then he goes and he heals the palsy. The man, a friend, he had palsy. He's paralyzed. And he's in great pain. Verse 6 says that he was grievously tormented. He was the kind of pain you may know somebody or you may be someone that just deals with chronic pain so torturous that you can never get any relief from it. This was that man. And it's a picture of missions because a man goes and gets Jesus and brings Jesus to the man that's broken. That's missions. It's outreach. It's what you do in Lubbock as well. Later, Jesus would go and heal Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, but not like a take some Tylenol, get over a fever situation. The word meant to be on fire. It was death as well. She would have died from that, but Jesus heals her. Verse 17 of chapter 8 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. He was doing these things, and it would go on through chapter 8 and through chapter 9, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Took. It means He gets a hold of our brokenness and takes it. He carries it. He carries you through it. This verse is coming from Isaiah 53, where it says, He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That opens up a whole nother level. It's incredible, because we understand in those first ones that I mentioned that Jesus was healing this brokenness, it was the leper and it was paralysis and it was the fever. Those are physical brokenness. But then when he says here that He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, it opens up another kind of brokenness that you might have, that we have. It's an emotional brokenness. You see, we're not just physically broken. We have emotional brokenness. But He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Our griefs, our worry, our concerns, our anxieties. Back in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 26, the disciples were on a boat. There was a great tempest. The word means commotion, but not like commotion of teenagers in a house. It's like earthquake commotion. It scares these fishermen so much that they say, Lord, save us, we perish. They've been fishermen. They've been on these waters before. They were the kind of guys that say, I ain't scared of nothing. I did that for emphasis. I know you don't use the word ain't. I get that, but that's them. I'm not scared of nothing. Lord, save us, we perish. They were overwhelmed with it. They were scared to death. What did Jesus do? He calms the water. He takes it. He relieves them. He heals the situation. Later in chapter 8, Jesus has cast out demons twice. This is another type of brokenness. It's spiritual brokenness. There's physical brokenness, there's emotional brokenness, there's spiritual brokenness of demons living inside of people. But Jesus was more powerful than any demon, than any spiritual brokenness, than any emotional brokenness, than any physical brokenness. And He didn't just deliver one person from demons. In these two chapters, He did it three times. As we would go into the beginning of chapter 9, He delivers another man from palsy. It's illustrated, Jesus is doing this, and it's showing He doesn't just heal one random person or a select few over there somewhere, but anybody that comes to Jesus with their brokenness, He gives healing. And so He's doing it in multiple people's lives with the same situation. Everyone in the Bible who came to Jesus for healing was healed. Every sickness, every disease, verse 35. He calls Matthew to follow Him in chapter 9. There's all the other tax collectors standing around, and there was the sinners. They were the outcasts of society, and Jesus stops to have a meal with them. Verses 9 through 12 of chapter 9. How come? Because they were broken. Sin was breaking their lives. Wealth would promise things that wouldn't deliver. And Jesus can heal them too. In verses 11 through 13, Jesus went to the broken, not the healthy, not the righteous. He went to those who would need healing. Verse 18, a man comes to Jesus and he has a daughter that has died. You can't get any more broken than a situation of death. No more broken for the girl that's died, and no more broken, I would imagine, for the father of a dead daughter. The man knows Jesus can heal this situation. On the way that Jesus is going to heal or to bring her back to life, a lady that's been sick for 12 years would have been overwhelmingly broken. People would have said, don't bother him. Don't do that. There's no use. You've tried for 12 years. You've tried everything. But she was healed that day of a disease that nobody could heal, of that nothing could help. It doesn't matter if you've been broken so long. It doesn't matter if a person you know that has been broken so long that almost all hope is lost and it seems that their brokenness can never change. Jesus heals brokenness. And then after that, he goes and brings the dead girl back to life. He brings life where there's death. He overwhelms the overwhelmingly broken situation. He overpowers it. All of these healings show that Jesus brings healing to brokenness. That's what they show. So I ask today, will you come to Jesus with your brokenness? Will you come to Jesus with your brokenness? If Jesus healed and cast out demons, rescued all of these people, he can indeed heal any brokenness. That's what these two chapters show. I would encourage you to study them. People healed, people rescued, people delivered from impossible broken situations. We really don't face anything, and I'm not making light of your brokenness, but we really don't face anything in our lives greater than the things in chapter 8 and chapter 9. We really don't. And Jesus healed everyone. One thing that is different, and I want to acknowledge this, is that we cannot go to the human presence of Jesus and have him touch our diseased bodies. I'm not trying to build up some type of false hope there. But stay with me. Coming to Jesus through a relationship with him does indeed bring healing. It brings wholeness. It brings completeness to any broken situation. Like I said, it might not be a physical healing, but an ongoing relationship with Jesus brings relief. It brings strength. It brings grace, even to a person with physical disease and physical brokenness. This ongoing relationship I'm talking about is not a one-time prayer somewhere in the past that doesn't do anything for where you live today. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. That's not an ongoing relationship. It's not an emotional experience somewhere that you've had. It's a relationship. The word is relationship. Well, let's just consider for a couple of minutes, what is a relationship? It's a connection. That's what relationship is. If you have a family relationship, there's a blood connection. That's what a relationship is. It's a connection. If you have a husband and wife relationship, a marriage, there's a connection that probably started with some emotions, but somewhere along the way, it went deeper to a commitment, to care, to love. There's a real connection. We understand that relationships involve, and they really are a connection, because we either say, we say something like this, I have a good relationship with him. What does that mean? I don't have a good relationship with him, or I have a bad relationship, or we don't have a relationship. What's that mean? There's no connection, or the connection's broken. We understand that that's what a relationship is. It's a connection. In human relationships, connections are conversations, they're texts, they're time together. It's the quality of the relationship is based on how many connections there are, how deep those connections are. But a relationship with Jesus has many similarities with a human relationship in the fact that if you only talk to Jesus once in a while, you're not going to have a very good relationship. You're really probably not going to experience the healing of an overwhelmingly broken situation that I'm dealing with today. You wouldn't know Jesus as much as you would know somebody in your life that you text every day or you talk to every day. A relationship with Jesus begins with a certain single connection. It's realizing you're a sinner. Realizing that your sin disconnects you from God and there is nothing you can do to overcome that. There is nothing that you can do to earn your way in. It's admitting to God your sin and trusting what Jesus did by dying on the cross to forgive you of your sin. And this trust establishes a connection that puts you into the family of God to be born again. And you have a connection as a child of God on what Christ did on the cross. I praise the Lord that there's people in Grand Island who have been saved, who Jesus has healed their brokenness of sin, even healed the brokenness of religion. And then a relationship with God continues as you spend time together. How would you have a relationship with somebody on earth? Time together. How would you have a relationship with God? Time together. That's how an ongoing relationship with God works. It's a two-way conversation. Go study chapter 8 and chapter 9 today, tonight, tomorrow. Sometime this, I encourage you. So many places, there's conversations going on in Matthew 8 and 9. Somebody goes and they ask Jesus, "Will you heal me?" That's a prayer. And Jesus answers with some words. That's the word of God that we have. There's a two-way conversation going on all through chapter 8 and chapter 9. Jesus was speaking his word. It's his word that brings healing to our lives. Jesus said to the leper, "I will, be thou clean." He said to the man of palsy, "I will come and heal him." He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," to another one. He rebuked the storms with his word. God brings healing to brokenness with his word. It's an ongoing relationship with him in his word, if you're listening to God speak. And then the connection through prayer is our side of the conversation. And these people were coming to Jesus, talking to Jesus, asking Jesus to bring healing. "Lord," the leper, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." The centurion asked Jesus to heal his servant. The ruler asked Jesus to revive his daughter. There was requests. There was conversations going on both sides of this. The disciples in the storm, "Lord, save us, we perish." And in many of these situations, other people got involved in getting the broken to Jesus. That's outreach and missions. It was other people asking. It was other people speaking. And being plugged in a part of a church like this helps us in our relationship even with God. We encourage one another. We challenge one another in the fellowship and the strengthening of each other. But Jesus healing your brokenness is not an easy button. It's not just something that you can push and make it all go away. Make it like nothing bad has ever happened in your life and now it's just easy. But he will indeed bring relief through an ongoing relationship with him. We are all broken. No, really, we are all broken. We all have brokenness. We might have brokenness like leprosy. And leprosy in the Bible, it's an understood thing that it's a graphic illustration of what sin does. And maybe you've tried to get over your sin, and maybe you've tried to quit your sin. But year after year, it's like it's getting worse. That's a picture of what leprosy does. Sin brings pleasure for a short time, and it seems like it's going to make you happy, but it leaves you broken. And so many people deal with their brokenness. That they try to overcome their brokenness, and in turn, actually what they do, not realizing they're doing it, is they add more brokenness onto the brokenness, and it only makes it worse. And then maybe like leprosy, your brokenness has isolated you from people. There's brokenness of paralysis and fear, where it's like all you can do is lay there and wait for it to go away. It's like you're crippled from it, paralyzed from your brokenness. And there's emotional brokenness. There's grief. There's brokenness from disappointments and brokenness from people who have failed you. There's brokenness from the storms of life, like the disciples, where you're going along, you have plans and everything's fine, and then a phone call changes everything. A storm comes up that you don't know how in the world you're going to go through. And the brokenness of health problems, it's a fact that we are unable to heal our own brokenness or we would have already made it go away. If you can fix your brokenness, you wouldn't be broken. Everybody. But we can't fix it. Each person in chapter 8 and chapter 9 would have healed their own brokenness if they could have, but they couldn't. So at best, we put band-aids on brokenness to try to cover them up, to try to manage our brokenness when we just need to get to Jesus. We just need to live in an ongoing relationship with Jesus So it seems there's really only two choices for your brokenness. Either stay broken or come to Jesus. Would you quit using Band-Aids? As I close, let me give you several one-sentence warnings. I've seen people use these to try to get healing. They try to overcome this. They try to beat it. But it hurts me and it breaks me every time to see people. Some warnings about your brokenness is it might not seem like a relationship with God could bring relief to your brokenness. But don't trust your feelings, trust God. A leper could have been told, "You're a leper, you can't be healed." If he was just going off of what it seemed like could happen, it wouldn't work. Don't trust your feelings, trust God. Second, comparing other people's brokenness with your own brokenness doesn't do any good. That won't bring healing. If the leper compares himself with the palsy, well, at least I'm not that bad. It doesn't give him any healing. He's still just as broken. The third warning, just wishing it would go away doesn't do any good either. Your mind can spin circles and circles and circles for days and weeks and months. I just wish this would go away. That'll never make it go away, but getting to Jesus will bring relief. The fourth warning, going to Jesus partially or half-heartedly with your brokenness won't do any good. Trusting Him for a little while and then quitting will take you right back to where you were, but even worse because you've added more disappointments to your brokenness. You must keep trusting Jesus. Keep walking with Jesus. And fifth, don't try to measure the progress of healing. Don't try to measure the progress in days or with months. Just keep trusting. Just keep following Jesus. Just keep growing in your relationship. And the healing takes place as you're not watching it try to heal, as you're watching Him. Look at Him. People often quit too soon, depending on how quick they expected to feel relief from their brokenness. Don't quit too soon. Keep walking with Him. Keep trusting Him. Keep following Him, and He will bring healing. It's not on our time schedule, and it's not in our ways. It's His time and His way. And then, maybe you know somebody that's broken. Don't be hard on those who are struggling. Don't be hard on those who are struggling with quitting. Don't be hard on those, even just internally, on those who have quit because they decided that the pain was too much to take. Don't be hard on them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Love them. Because here's the thing. We don't know, but you don't know if your pain had been as bad as theirs is, if you would have quit trusting too. Pray and love them. This morning, will you believe that God will bring healing to your brokenness? Are you overwhelmed today? Are you ready to quit? I'm not saying that in a hard way. I'm just saying, are you there? Are you hopeless? Are you broken? You don't have to feel bad and think, I shouldn't be like this. Jesus came to heal that. That's the very reason He came. That's the very reason He went to the cross. Will you trust God with your brokenness today? Trust Him with the pain by bringing it to Him and pouring out your heart to Him. Tell Him how much it hurts. He knows and He's ready. Trust Him to bring good through it. Trust that He will bring relief in His time and His way. Give Him time to bring healing. Trust Him through an ongoing relationship, Bible and prayer and church. Jesus brings healing to brokenness. Will you trust Him with your brokenness today? The reason for missions, the reason for your missions emphasis this month is to bring the healing of Jesus to the brokenness of the lost. That's what missions is. Missions is taking Jesus' healing to the world. Will you bow with me in prayer today? Lord, we come to You.